Now, this brings us to a very important point. Perhaps this is the main thing to be understood in connection with Tibetan Buddhist art. We speak of Tibetan Buddhist art, but strictly speaking, this is a tautology. It isn't really necessary to say Tibetan Buddhist art, because in fact Tibetan art is entirely Buddhist or entirely religious. In Tibet there is no secular art at all, or at least not any secular art really worth mentioning. And this, we may say, this fact is in accordance with the general scheme or the general pattern of Tibetan life, at least traditional Tibetan life, now unfortunately disrupted. The whole scheme, the whole pattern of Tibetan life is based on certain traditional values. That is to say, it's based on spiritual values which have been handed down through a succession of teachers and disciples down the ages. And all aspects of life, all aspects of Tibetan life, are related in one way or another, directly or indirectly, to these values. And all aspects of Tibetan life, therefore, inasmuch as they're related to these values, provide means of access to these values themselves. And this applies to all aspects of traditional Tibetan life. It applies to the economic organization, it applies to the government and administration, it applies even to social customs and manners. As we saw right at the very beginning of the series, at the beginning of the first lecture in Tibetan life, I was going to say Tibetan Buddhist life, but that isn't really necessary, this idea of precedence occupies a very important place, because it reflects on the mundane level, the social level, the spiritual idea or ideal of hierarchy. So inasmuch as all these aspects of life are closely interwoven with certain spiritual ideals, it isn't surprising that art itself, Tibetan art, is closely integrated with religion. And this applies, we may say, to all the arts. It applies, for instance, to poetry. I think the Tibetans have got only one little collection of secular poetry. And this is a collection of love poems or love songs attributed to the 6th Dalai Lama of all people. But apart from these, Tibetan poetry is entirely religious. It's the same with painting. There's no secular painting. Sometimes the religious art does depict aspects or incidents of secular life, but only as little details, as when they come in the Wheel of Life, for instance. Music is entirely religious, apart from a little folk music. And the drama is religious. The dance is religious, again, apart from a little folk dancing. Architecture is religious. Sculpture, these things are all religious. And even one may say many of the applied arts, such as wood carving, metalwork, these two are basically religious. So the purpose of all these different forms, all these different expressions of art, is not to give expression to the contents of the artist's own individual mind. The purpose of all these artistic manifestations, whether in the form of music or poetry or art, painting, sculpture, architecture, the purpose of them all is to put the individual Buddhist, the individual member of the tradition, in touch with what the Tibetan tradition itself calls the one mind, the absolute mind, the absolute or supreme consciousness, the Dharmakaya or reality, as it's also called. Or at least, if that is not possible, at least with a higher and wider and more comprehensive level of being and of consciousness. And Tibetan Buddhist art or Tibetan art does this with the help of what we call symbols.